Hey guys, I want to take a minute to tell you about my guys over at Shinesty. Those dudes have one mission and one mission only, and that's to help you look fucking good. They can even help someone like Phil out. Shinesty brings you the most outlandish collection of clothing the world has ever seen. When worn correctly, the right clothing can fill randos with jealousy or make you look like a sexual Greek god or goddess. So whether you're searching for retro gear, signature knockout threads, or simply something that makes you look like you got your shit together, even though you don't, Shinesty is here to help. Check out their antics and ridiculous clothing at Shinesty.com. That's Shinesty.com. And when you go to the promo code, go to Loud69. It'll give you 15% off your next order. Shinesty, you may like the way you look, but we do not guarantee it. Welcome one of our newest Hash Sports, I guess, content providers, as well as our basketball insider, Mikey Buckets, to the podcast. Mikey, welcome, brother. Thank you so much. How are you this evening?
I'm doing great. What's going on? Mikey Buckets, Strictly Buckets. You know my game. What's going on?
Man, you know, just another casual week out here in Colorado. We appreciate you joining us. For those that don't know Mikey Buckets that well, he's gonna be our basketball insider. He's been writing a couple articles for us over at the Hash Sports website. Don't be shy to go over there and look. He's a New York, I guess, native, and then a student at IU, so he knows his basketball. I mean, he grew up under Dolan, so he knows the Knicks suck. He may be a little too young for the Ewing and Sparks days, but he's at least in, I guess, the mecca of college basketball, which is Indiana. So we appreciate you joining us, and I'm sorry we couldn't get you on here sooner, but seeing as football's starting to kind of die down and basketball's starting to pick up, we figured what better time to have you come on, introduce you, as well as tell us a little bit about you and then what you know about the game. So you want to let the listeners know a little bit about you, growing up, sports, things along those lines?
Yeah, for sure. So to say again, I'm Mikey Buckets. I'm from New York. Grew up in a small town called New Rochelle. It's just outside the Bronx. Now I go to IU. So I've had the best of both worlds. I had the East Coast basketball experience. Now I'm in the Midwest basketball experience, Big East to Big Ten. I've had my fair share of all types of basketball, you know.
The tents, the Big East to the Big Ten.
What's up?
The Big East pre losing all their teams.
Yeah. Well, yeah, when I was in New York, it was, you know, the Syracuse, Villanova, those days when you had the stacked Big East.
Yeah, Louisville, I think, was one of those guys before they Syracuse. So you've definitely had some big names. Did you have a team? I mean, obviously New York's a big melting pot, and seeing as we are all from the South, we have zero frame of reference. Yeah. Who'd you cheer for growing up? Were you a Bob Knight guy? Is this major Indiana?
No, I was like a I guess a Cuse fan growing up. I really was just a college basketball fan. I rooted for Cuse, but I mean, I didn't really love them, you know.
You were one of Baylor's boys.
Yeah.
I got you.
Did you go to Indiana because of the basketball pedigree?
Yeah, let's say yeah.
I have a coworker who actually went to Purdue, and he kind of paints the picture that Indiana is a little bit more of the fun school, whereas
Purdue – it's more of just like Indiana is more like the good school, and Purdue is more like the, you know.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So Purdue's the Mississippi State, and Indiana's the Ole Miss. I get it.
Yeah, if in sports realm,
it's
then
not,
yeah.
I don't even. I don't think they're that close. I think it's a different type of thing.
I won't lie. Pierce is right in regards to at least the partying side of the facet. Then Indiana would definitely equate to Ole Miss, and probably similar to football field as well. So you know, a lot of 7-5s, 3-9s kind of things. But I do appreciate you coming on. We'll probably we'll start with college and work our way to basketball, but I'm actually going to start with last night's action. For those that were tuned in to basketball late at night, Chris Paul went out to LA and picked a little fight. God, I love it. That's the only part of the time I ever liked the NBA. Everybody being friends, kind of suck each other off. I don't like the banana boat gang, but I love it when these guys want to fight each other in the locker rooms. Can we expect to see more of this, Mikey? Is the days of the friendship league over? Can we get back to hating each other like they did back in the Jordan era?
I don't know if the friendship league is over, but I mean, like, you got to love what you saw last night. I mean, that was like real hood. Two guys don't like each other. Like, you could see real, like, aggression. Like, that was not a playing around fight. And then after the game, all that happened, like, you hear the post-game comments. I mean, that's great vintage, like, beef in the NBA. That's what – I mean, everyone it's like the opposite of what everyone's been saying, that NBA friendship, like what you were saying, like, all the banana boat stuff. Like, it's you got to love it.
I think we needed it for the NBA to be fun again. You know, like, nobody wants to hear about how LeBron and all of his friends are teaming up to play, you know, in Miami or bringing D-Wade to Cleveland. Everyone's sick of this little suck fest. I'm ready to get back to elbows, fights in the court.
Shots and shit, like hockey, you know?
Give me a little bit more hockey out there, you know? But, I couldn't.
They run our test in the fucking stands.
Where is Meta World Peace?
Is he still playing?
I think he is. He definitely was at the beginning of the year.
I think he's on the big three, if I had to call. Maybe in China. I may be mistaken. I don't know exactly. But let's talk a little bit more about the relevant sports players and our basketball players and basketball teams. We touched a little bit on, you know, Chris Paul and things of that nature. We're sitting here in Denver, where the team is not necessarily blah, but they're, you know, they're a contender this year, and I think you could say the same. And
contender for the eighth spot.
Hey, that's all you need to do is get in the playoffs. And, you know, I've kind of started to watch a little bit more NBA. And like you said, you're sitting there in Indiana, so you have a little bit more basketball to watch. How do you feel about your Pacers? And can we call them your Pacers, seeing as you're, I guess, a Knickerbocker?
I don't think you can call them my Pacers, but I think the Pacers are looking really good. I mean, IU alum, Oladipo, killing it out there. I think he'll probably get his first All-Star appearance. I like the Pacers a lot in the East. I think if they wind up playing like a Raptors or a Heat, I think they will win that first round matchup, which might surprise some people. So definitely like the Pacers.
I think they can beat the Raptors. Now, I feel like with DeRozan and Lowry, that could be a team that they usually get through that first, you know, I guess the first round of the playoffs and then shit the bed at home.
I think this is the year the Raptors fall apart. I think they lose in the first round, no matter if they, unless they wind up, I mean, I don't see them getting the one, but unless they wind up getting the one, I think they'd lose to the Pacers. I think they'd lose to the Bucks. Unless the Pistons either move up or they move down, I don't see them getting out of the first round, and I see probably either DeRozan or Lowry leaving.
Okay. Now, I'd seen some articles about how DeRozan and Lowry weren't really friends when they kind of just – when they were both in Toronto early on, and now they seem to be attached to the hip. In fact, one said – I think it was DeRozan had said if Lowry had been traded, then he would have requested a trade as well. So at least it's nice to see some teams in mid-markets enjoying being in a mid-market.
That could just be like, well, we'll suck if we trade him. So we'll fuck at it.
They suck already, so that's not crazy. Taxes are a bitch in a socialist economy. So, well, let's stay in the East for a second. I guess we'll call them your Knicks as well. Do you believe in Porzingis? And then also kind of – actually, let's backtrack. Who won in that trade between Indiana and Oklahoma City? Before we get off the Pacer train, who won in that deal? Will the Oklahoma City – can they figure shit out? And, I mean, Indiana's got a couple key pieces that are young, that are long-term, and not very expensive. So, I mean, who's going to win in that trade at the end of the season?
I mean, mind you, I'm sure – the Thunder would take that trade back in a second. I mean, I love them moving, trying to get a ring. Love Paul George. That Victor Oladipo is going to be a Paul George, and they're younger now. They're playing better than OKC, and they're half their age. I think anyone in the OKC front office would take that trade back right now in a heartbeat.
say too, do you think they would also maybe not get Carmelo Anthony? Because that guy's a fucking burden.
Yeah, we're not a big Melo guy here. I don't know how long you've been a listener of the loud and obnoxious
There's
crew.
No way he likes Melo.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm not a big Melo guy either.
Well, he said he was a Cuse guy. He said he was a Cuse guy.
Yeah,
they won one.
Ruined the Knicks. Destroyed the Knicks. So, like, there's no way.
James Dolan ruined the Knicks. What do you think, Mikey?
Too. You see what Porzingis does now?
Melo ruins every team he goes to.
Yeah, he's kind of a cancer. But I like him. Except for Syracuse. He was good at Syracuse.
But not even,
that was a Warwick, and the white kid also helped him get to that one.
McNamara won the game for him. He hit just drain of threes.
Yeah, but still, Carmelo Anthony played a big part on that team.
He got it.
So let's just back up a little bit.
All right, well, let's not back up, but let's go forward. Mikey, we've had a couple arguments on this podcast when I've tried to dip our foot into the basketball pool. Phil shuts it down with, oh, it's absurd to think anybody but fucking LeBron's going to come out of the East as he jerks him off. Is there anybody that can beat LeBron and win the East besides the Cavs, obviously?
I hate to burst your bubble, but I think it's pretty absurd to think anyone other than LeBron is coming out of the East. I know. It sucks. Trust me, I hate LeBron as much as the next guy, but he's the best player on the planet. He's probably the best player of all time, and I think it's the East. I mean, Celtics are good. I don't really like the Raptors. I don't really like the Heat. I don't really like the Wizards. I don't see anyone really giving them any issues once it comes to playoff time.
So if the Celtics are the one seed, you're telling me that LBJ will find it?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the Celtics were the one last year.
I'm writing this fucking shit down. All three of y'all are going to be eating crow, and I'm going to stick my dick in y'all's ears.
I'll ride with that all day, every day. I'm very confident they'll come out of the East. I mean, it happens every year. They have this dip about halfway through the year. They have this dip. They lose a few games. Everyone gets on LeBron's back. Everyone says it's time to break it up. And then it comes June, and they're playing the finals. So we'll see.
When they're in Cleveland, Kyrie has been a very large part of that, including when they won it. I mean, Kevin Love wasn't even on the fucking court. I mean, it was a Kyrie show and a LeBron show. They both averaged like 30 points a game. So after watching IT get raped in the mouth last night by Golden State, I mean, I don't have a lot of faith in that. I don't have a lot of faith in the IT / LeBron led Cavs. I'm gonna have to stand by this.
It's fair, but I just don't. When it comes to a guy as good as LeBron, I don't think it matters.
They don't even need IT.
Yeah, I don't think. I think if Isaiah Thomas was out for the year, they still win the East.
So you and Phil and agree, and I guess Pierce too. So
yeah, baby,
it's like a Dunce wagon. I can't wait to bring you back on here in May. But okay, so we'll get away. If the East is a no contest, then what do we see shaking out? I mean, honestly, it's too early to tell. The basketball season is way too fucking long. What do we see coming out of the West? Because we always see that the top six teams would be like the one or two seed in the East.
Yeah.
Like, can anybody make a splash besides the normal, I guess, Houston looks to be the team this year if Harden and Paul are healthy on the court at the same time? Golden State is Golden State. I mean, are the Spurs a sleeper team? Are they too old? Is there anybody else that can contend in the West?
I mean, obviously, if I'm betting it, I'm betting the Warriors, but I do really like the Rockets. The Rockets are for real. They're deep. They got, I mean, obviously Harden, MVP candidate. Chris Paul is still balling. Like, I really, really like the Rockets. Clint Capella is a player. I really like the Rockets. That being said, I mean, the Warriors are the Warriors, so I think they're going to wind up coming out of the West. But I do really like the Rockets. I also sort of like the Nuggets. I don't know if they're going to – I don't think they'll win a playoff series, but I bet they wind up as the five or the six by the end of the year.
So you think that, like, obviously, like – I think the Nuggets have done this like 4 or 5 years, at least the 4 or 5 years I've been here. Every time I watch like the first round of the NBA draft, albeit there's only two, it's always some foreigner, and nobody can get behind a fucking foreigner because you're like, I don't even know how to pronounce his name. I'm not going to buy this jersey. But Jokic seems to be at least a guy you can build around, right? Is that his name, Jokic?
Yeah, Jokic is a very, very, very good player, well-rounded. Paul Millsap's a player.
He's out there for like what, 3 months?
Yeah, he'll be out until about I think about 3 months. But still, when he gets back, he's an all-star.
He's a 15-15 guy.
Yeah. I really like Gary Harris. I don't know if you guys are watching a lot of the Nuggets this year, but I'm pretty sure he's their leading scorer.
The rookie as well? I know they had three picks.
He's not a rookie. I think it's his third year maybe, but he's going to be a very good player for a very long time. I really like Gary Harris.
Okay. So that gives me a little hope. You know, Hash Sports has been nice enough to send me to a couple of Nuggets games. We actually were able to see the Thunder play thanks to BVD. And I will not lie, that was the first game I'd been to this year. And, I mean, Russell Westbrook looks like a linebacker that runs the 40 and, like, four flat. Like, it's unbelievable how well he moves the – I guess the ball, as well as how quickly he can move up and down the court. Are they going to make it? Where do you see them? A 7-8 seed? Okay, are they going to stick around? Yeah.
I think they probably wind up at a 5 or 6. I think they'll figure it out a little more. There's too much talent on that team. I mean, Paul George and.
You're talking about Steven Adams, right? You're talking about Steven Adams being the talent on that team.
Well, Steven Adams is a really good player. I mean, you got George, Melo. Russ, they got a lot of deep two guys is what I call them. Like Paul George is a deep two guy. Melo is a deep two guy. Guys who live by like mid-range jump shots, which is obviously like not going away in the NBA. But I still think there's too much talent there for them not to wind up with at least a 5 or a 6.
All right. Well, so we usually do preseason projections and they really just end up making us look stupid as fuck later on. So I won't make you give us the All-Star break projections, but
I'll give you my
are you looking at a rematch for the third year in a row?
Yeah. If you're making me pick, I mean, obviously it's a boring pick, but I think
NBA is a boring sport. That's fair.
Yeah, without injuries, that's just what's going to happen. He's going to beat the Warriors. He's going to beat LeBron. I cannot believe you think LeBron's getting beat. This is going to be the most hilarious. It's going to be funnier than Phil on Sunday.
It's going to be funnier than Phil in about 30 minutes when we dive balls deep into some football. God. But so you've given us your NBA caps. Let's get into college basketball. I'm an avid gambler. BVD is as well. Pierce loves a good over. Let's talk a little college basketball while I got you on the line. You're in the Big Ten country. Indiana's having a lackluster year, but your neighbors to the south.
Lackluster.
3 wins in a row. The boys, I don't know. 3 wins in a row?
We're looking all right. We're not great, but we're looking all right. First year.
Purdue is number 3 in the country. You know, things like that. Give me what do you see coming out of the Big Ten? We'll start at the Big Ten and we'll work our way around to conferences that, you know, are relevant. What do you expect out of the Big Ten? Is Purdue your best bet to get anything done? Michigan State losing at home to Michigan leaves a lot of questions.
I like Michigan State a lot more than I like Purdue. I mean, if you look at their losses, Michigan State has lost to Michigan, who I think is a very good team, Ohio State, who I think is a very good team, and Duke, who obviously is a very good team, where Purdue's lost to Western Kentucky and Tennessee. I mean, obviously, the popular pick's going to be Purdue right now. They're hot, and Michigan State just had a bad week. But, I mean, it's Purdue had back-to-back losses at the beginning of the year. It's the same thing. It's just a recency bias. I really like Michigan State. Tom Izzo, obviously, great coach. I mean, I think when it comes down to it, I think it will be Purdue, Michigan State in the Big Ten final, but I like Michigan State.
All right. Well, so I guess we'll go conference to conference. We don't have any time frame around these parts, so we can do it as much as we pull. We touched a little bit on the Big East, or what I call the new Big East. Seton Hall brought all those seniors back, but they still have 8 or 9 stout teams, or 5 or 6 stout teams in the league.
I don't like the Big East. I think past Villanova, the Big East is pretty trash, to be honest. I don't like Seton Hall at all. I don't like Xavier at all. I don't like Creighton. Butler? I don't like to me, this year, the Big East is I don't like anyone in the Big East. Xavier, if you're going to make me pick a team that isn't Villanova, I mean, I think Xavier is an all right team, but I don't know.
They just got beat by 25 against Villanova. Yeah. So I can understand that. But they are able to, you know, upset some folks. Sorry for the coughers. Got some virgin lungs over here on this vape pen. But what's it called? We'll migrate a little south. We're going to go around the country because we don't talk enough basketball. I'd like to get some content going. ACC has always been a predominantly strong conference, top to bottom. We're big Duke haters here on this podcast.
Fuck Grayson Allen.
And then, of course, Krzyzewski's taking his yearly injury/illness leave of absence. What do you expect to come out? They snuck a win out against Miami last week. North Carolina looks up and down. Clemson's meh. Virginia, they don't ever score over 60 fucking points. Tell me why. Am I buying or selling on Virginia?
I love Virginia. I think Virginia was going to win the ACC. They're pretty old. Ty Jerome's a player. They're defensive minded. I think they're a really good team. I think Duke probably in the tournament will wind up being more successful, but in the ACC, I think it'll wind up being Duke UVA in the final, and I think that young Duke team is going to have trouble with a veteran, well coached, well great defense like UVA. I think they're going to wind up coming out of the ACC.
There's very few things safer bets than unders with UVA. So I can believe that. What I often see, though, with this team or with these teams is Virginia goes like one and done in the tournament because some team does find a way to break the press, score 65, 70 points, and Virginia is just not able to do that. They run the clock. I mean, they use the whole shot clock. And so they get as minimal possessions is kind of one of their things, you know? I feel Marvin Bagley is going to have he can go off for five games in a row against teams like your George Masons or your Creightons and you know, with help with Grayson Allen, the senior, and shit like that. It's very viable opportunity. I do agree with you that Duke will make a deeper run, but as a podcast host, and I think it's the whole podcast crew is in agreement, we fucking hate Grayson Allen, and we hope Duke loses every game from here until the end of time. So
I sort of flipped on Grayson Allen. I was a big Grayson Allen hater. I find this with myself a lot. Once everyone jumps on like a hating bandwagon of someone, I sort of flip. Like I hated Grayson Allen his freshman, sophomore, even really junior year. But this year, for some reason, I sort of like him. He's a player. He's a bucket getter.
How can you make yourself like him when you formerly hated him?
I don't know. I think now that everyone and their mother hates him, I think that turns me on to him a little more, and you got to watch him play. I mean, the kid, he can score. I think he's a really good player.
Does he have NBA potential? No.
Say it again. I'm sorry.
Does he have NBA potential?
I mean, I don't think he'll be a great player in the NBA, but I mean, obviously, the comparison everyone makes is JJ Redick, and I think he'll wind up somewhere around there.
I disagree a little bit on that regard. I don't know if he's as – I mean, JJ was not only reliable at the free throw line, but he didn't create his own shot. He just hit threes all the fucking time. Yeah, I don't think Grayson – I know, but Grayson seems to be able to at least do a little bit more off the dribble. Yeah. He can get to and I feel he plays a little bit more defense. So he's a little bit more versatile as a basketball player, but yet still a huge dyke loser. I don't know either, but I just think he's a better all-around player than Grayson. I don't know. I'm not a sports
– Redick
is? Excuse me. I think Grayson's better than Redick all-around.
You're an idiot.
I don't know. I'm not
– You also think
– I think Grayson will wind up better than JJ.
Better than JJ?
Wow. Yeah, I think
JJ's a very good
player. No, I definitely agree, but I think he'll be –
You don't build
but I think he'll be slightly better.
Role players at best.
JJ had a few good years. JJ was averaging a quiet.
I mean, he's getting paid a lot of money in the Sixers or wear the 76ers jerseys. So, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, I don't want to spend any more time talking about Duke than I have to. So let's go on to the next conference. Give everyone a synopsis for all those that have been buried in football and especially those in SEC country, which I don't know if you know this, Mikey, but we have an Ole Miss, two Ole Miss guys. BVD has since joined us. Phil's LSU and I'm a Mississippi State guy. So we've been kind of heads in the sand. Between the three of us or four of us, we have zero good basketball teams. So give us a little insight as to what to look for seeing as we just started SEC play.
I honestly don't think the SEC is that good this year. I mean, Kentucky's probably has their worst team that they've had in the last 5 or 6 years. I don't think Auburn is – I mean, Auburn's getting a lot of hype right now. Rightfully so, but
I like Auburn. I think Bruce Pearl knows how to coach in tournament play, and I mean, he may be a scumbag guy or a shitty person, lies to, you know, advise our university people, the NCAA and the FBI, but I think he's a hell of a ball coach. It seems that he can coach wherever he is.
He's a good coach, and they got some good kids, and I mean, I think they'll wind up as maybe a 5 or 6. I don't think they're gonna fall off completely. I just don't think this pace is sustainable. I mean, they have a few good wins. They beat Tennessee. I think they beat
Arkansas. But
shit, Mississippi State beat Arkansas. What's up? We're not good either. And they were top 25, so I kind of felt that we were a little bit not only inflated because you play weak-ass non-conference teams, Mississippi State included. I mean, we're 13-3 or something like that, but our losses are to teams that are better than us, but our wins are over, like, D3 schools. So I feel like a lot of the SEC teams may be, like Pierce said, Auburn 16-1.
Yeah.
I think a lot of those teams right now are, you know, 12-3 or 14-2, but once they start kind of getting in the meat potatoes of their schedule, they're going to get a little bit beat.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Half Auburn's wins are intramural teams. So they've played a lot of subpar competition.
I can agree with that, and I feel that Auburn's one of those universities where I feel their whole athletic program should just be intramurals. I can't understand what Pierce is saying, but okay, we'll move on to the next conference. So last night there actually was a little shakeup. West Virginia got what, highest ranking in like 10 years. They jumped to number 2 in the polls and then rightfully get beat by what I thought was a down Kansas team. I mean, Kansas loses at home.
A down Kansas
team? They've lost 3 games at home in the last 3
still
weeks.
Ranked number 10.
I mean, yeah, that's because the AP polls is going to be the AP polls. They're going to give the same reason Alabama, Florida State, and Oklahoma are always in the top of the polls of football. I feel like you're always going to see your Kansas, your Michigan States, and your Dukes. Just, I mean, who's good? Who's real and who's not real in the Big 12? I know Trey Young is real. Is Oklahoma?
I like Kansas coming out of the Big 12, but Trey Young is a killer. That kid is – he's one of the most exciting college basketball players that I've ever watched in my whole life. I mean – the kid is, he can shoot from anywhere. He drives, he passes. I think he's going to be, I think he should probably be the first pick in the NBA draft. I think that Oklahoma team.
Bullshit. Over that dude from Duke.
I think he's better than Bradley. I think he's better than DeAndre Ayton. I think he's better than Michael Porter.
Wasn't Buddy Hield a scorer? What's he doing now?
Say it again.
Shooter. Buddy, he was a scorer. I mean, Buddy Hield posted these same numbers for Oklahoma not 3 years ago.
Not the same numbers. This kid is at.
They're both posting like 30.
Yeah, no.
Every week,
this kid's averaging Hield points and the most assists in the NCAA. I think Trae Young's the best player in college basketball easily, and I think he'll wind up being the best NBA player out of this draft class.
Whoa, I like that take.
I'm a Trae Young believer.
My main reason I don't like him, I feel it's almost like a football thing that rolls over because I'm not a basketball guy. I'm trying to keep up because I watch and gamble on it. So I'm just trying to give us a nice conversation. But I feel like the Big 12 is like a all offense, high octane scoring, you know, kind of feel to it. Whereas like, you know, like you see those scores in the 90s and things like that, whereas most divisions or conferences aren't having those kinds of scores. Is there a lack of defense? Maybe that he's posting 45 points? Because, I mean, Oklahoma State Baylor over was like 156.
Yeah.
Like, these are high
numbers.
I mean,
I don't know what it is about the Big 12, but, yeah, you are right. There is a lot of points scored. But I mean, I'm a big believer in the kid. I think he's not just a shooter. He's not just a passer. He can drive the ball. He's not a horrible defender. I really like him.
All right, so the Big 12 has, what, 10 fucking teams?
Yeah, they have
7 in the top 25 or something like that. Iowa State, I think, is at any time kind of bipping in and out. How many teams do they get in and how many actually would make the Final Four? I guess it depends on draw, but how have like the teams for depth? Obviously, Trae Young. But, I mean, if he's cold one game, does Oklahoma have enough to get over that hump?
I think the Big 12 is probably the best conference in college basketball this year. I mean, Kansas is for real. Texas Tech is for real. I really like Oklahoma. I really like West Virginia. Past that, I think I don't like Baylor. I do really like TCU. So I think they'll probably get, you know, 6 or 7 in. And I think Texas Tech, Oklahoma, West Virginia, and Kansas all have shots at making the Final Four. I think they're all very good teams.
So with all these teams being good, how long will Shaka Smart last in Austin? Like if he keeps losing, if they keep going like a 10 and 10 and or 8-8 conference play, how long?
That's a weird situation because I do feel like every year Shaka Smart is like in these runnings, like you read articles like best coaches in college basketball and Shaka's still up there and they keep losing. So I don't know. I mean, he recruits well. He got Mo Bamba, which was a big, big signing for him. I think they probably will make the tournament this year. So I think if they make the tournament,
is that just because of like university clout? Is that just making it just because they're Texas? Like if Mississippi State had their resume, they'll be like, dude, eat shit bricks and go be a four seed in the NIT. Will they get it? Or is it because strength of schedule? They do have a tough schedule. They play a lot of top five teams.
A really, really, really tough schedule. They're not playing horribly. I think if they get they need a win against Kansas, against the Texas Tech, against one of those top four teams in the Big 12. But if they get one or two of those, I think they'll be good.
Word. Well, in a pure loud and obnoxious fashion, there wouldn't be a good end of a segment if we didn't bring up Pac-12 in the end, because they are, in fact, the worst and the bottom feeders. Arizona, I mean, our buddies, we have friends from the University of Arizona and Arizona State, so I won't speak too despairingly about them. But, I mean, are they more than a two, I guess, school conference? Is it just the schools from Arizona? Oregon?
I'm not an Arizona State believer. I think by the end of the season, Arizona State won't be ranked. They probably will get a bid, but I just don't see them doing much in the tournament.
Well, yeah, they'll definitely get a bid. They were at one point top five, and they went into Lawrence, Kansas.
Yeah,
I
see Arizona State falling off. I see them losing a lot of games in the next month, but that's just me. We'll see what happens. But I don't love Arizona State. I think they were hitting a lot of threes at the beginning of the year, and college kids aren't really consistent enough. In my opinion, kids aren't consistent enough to keep stuff like that up over the whole course of the season. We'll see what happens. But I see Arizona State falling out of the top 25 in the next 2 weeks. I do really like Arizona. DeAndre Ayton is – I mean, that guy, I don't know if you've seen it, but –
And Ato down low, I mean, him playing, I have a buddy of mine who likes to keep me very well in the loop. And when they came to town, he went up there and they got beat by – I mean, both teams got beat by CU, who's a middle-tier team at best. So, like, that's what always makes me wonder as to, like, how good those two really are. And shit, is there even a third team that's worth talking about? UCLA is not that great. Nobody else. I mean, is the dude that was at Florida Gulf Coast going to get fired at USC soon? The Dunkathon guy? I can't even remember.
Yeah, I don't like USC. I don't like UCLA. I think Stanford's all right. But really past that, I don't really like – well, I don't like the Pac-12 in general, but not a lot of depth.
All right. Okay, so this is a really good question I kind of want to pose to you. We've talked about the big conferences. What bubble team or lower seed coming from a mid-major do you see being this year's Cinderella?
I mean, this isn't a bubble team at all, but just mid-major. Wichita State's going to be a Final Four team. They're stacked.
And they're
Greg Marshall, fantastic coach. Landry Shamet is going to be I think he's going to be a good player in the NBA. Marcus McDuffie's a player. I really like Wichita State. That's not like a bubble team who's going to make a run, but I do think they're a really, really good team, and I do think they'll make the Final Four. If you want more of like a bubble team.
Yeah, give me a sleeper. Somebody that's going to be like an 11 seed that's going to really fuck people's brackets up. You don't really see a lot of like a Boise State coming out of the Mountain West. You know, I guess San Diego State's been a four seed or two. You know, are a time or two, so I don't think they would be as much of a sleeper nowadays. But there's got to be someone out there, so think on that. And then I also want you to think on a couple other things.
All right, this isn't, again, not like a bubble team, but a team that's I don't think is getting the attention they deserve is New Mexico State. They beat Miami. Their losses are against pretty good teams. They lost to USC, St. Mary's, and then they have a third loss, but I'm forgetting who it is. But they've really run through. I mean, they're in the WAC, so I mean, they're not playing anyone crazy, but they've run through pretty much everyone they played so far, except for two good teams, beat Miami. I like them a lot.
All right. I like it. So we're kind of degenerates here, speaking on behalf of myself and my podcast. Can Kentucky cover the 1.5-point spread at South Carolina tonight after they come off a hard loss at Georgia, or a big win on Georgia?
I think they'll definitely cover, which I know – probably me saying that, and then this is going to come out, and then they're going to lose by 14. But
all right, hold on, gotta put the bed in. Oh yeah, welcome to the internet. This is where we get to hold each other accountable, and I get reminded weekly from friends of my stupid fucking picks.
Celtics so, -5.5 tonight is a lock. If you guys
already got that,
that's a lock and a half. So if anyone,
So this is my card for tonight.
I think so.
Yeah, fuck that guy. I hate him. So I've also come up with this new theory. Tell me if I should start to fade myself. I'm betting against the Suns every night, and I'm taking the over every night. Booker scores 30. They don't play defense, and they get beat by 15.
I mean,
am I wrong?
How's it doing so far for you?
It's probably the only reason I'm not paying my bookie thousands of dollars and only hundreds of dollars. The Rockets, I think, literally cleared my bank last week trying to get myself out of the hole that stupid Twitter cappers will give me or dig me in. And then that was it. Impulse buys. And so I got back to squash on the week. So we're going to start back. Just need you to start giving me picks every single night. And I want all the listeners tuning in to go to hashsports.com every day. See Mikey Bucket's picks. Once he gets above 65%, you're going to want to buy these fuckers. But we're going to keep giving them to you for free. You just got to go click on the website. That's hashsports.com. Any other picks tonight that I need to know about?
I'll tell you what I bet. I bet Cincy minus 7. I mean, I don't want you – I don't think you should take my picks. I'm not fantastic. But I bet Cincy minus 7.5, and I bet I teased UNC minus 3.5 and Notre Dame plus 1.
Okay, so BVD was a believer in Notre Dame tonight. I feel they've lost two of their players, and so they're kind of like – they've been just eating like – I mean, it's just been bad for them recently. Yeah, they've been eating shit. It's been terrible. They've lost like – multitude of games, not only at home but on the road. It seems like they've lost two or three players as well. I couldn't get behind that one. I'm sorry, BVD.
I mean, it was kind of my blind parlay pick of the day, so I'm not really too solid on that pick.
Okay, cool. All right. Well, hey,
seems to be solid on any of their picks.
Yeah, let's try some fucking balls here and lay down some bets.
Hey, he gave the hammer of Boston. He said lock it in. So
I'll call that Celtics Boston minus 5.5 a lock, but past that, I wouldn't call anything a lock. But Celtics minus 5.5, I love.
Oh.
I'd spit you out an overlock right now.
There you go. Well,
any NBA over tonight that's above 220, lock it up. Lock it up. Find it right now.
All right, let's go. Hey, Mikey, this is kind of what we're trying to become as an internet famous website where we make people rich for all of our badass gambling picks.
Yeah.
So if you have lots.
Spur of the moment.
Yeah, sometimes if we just need to put out a breaking news, lock of the day, jump on this before the line moves, we can get those up on the website quick. So everybody don't forget to look up for them. Yeah, line movements.
I just hammer overs. It's crazy how good they are at NBA overs, though. How many I've lost by a point or half a point?
There's zero overs over 220.
Okay, then I'm not playing tonight.
All right. So
what we got?
We have Portland's 216. 210 for Denver and 213 or 15. I already closed out for Boston. The Nuggets are playing who? The Jazz or someone?
Fucking hammer it.
Mavs.
Hammer it. It's over. Yogi Ferrell's
going to get it. I'm hammering the Nuggets.
Boom.
There we go. So as you may be able to hear, Mikey, we got the whole team here. So we appreciate you joining us this week. If those are interested, go look at his articles that he's posted on the website already. And then obviously,
don't ask so nice. Y'all fucking go read his shit.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
God,
damn it,
Kip. What's with your politeness?
I'm trying to.
I plug my Twitter too.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
And then, plug your Twitter, Instagram, and everything. Plug it all.
@buckets_Mikey is my Twitter. Like they said, I'm writing on Hash Sports. Don't have an Instagram, but follow me.
Instagram.
But you're a millennial.
Yeah, dude.
Wait, aren't we all millennials?
Well, technically.
I'm a pretty fucking millennial. I switch jobs every 6 months and feel like I'm going to hit the Powerball and start dreaming. So I'm pretty much the definition of one of these people that never wants to work.
Oh, yeah.
And I haven't eaten any Tide Pods, but...
What is the deal with that? Are people actually eating those? I just started hearing about this.
What's going on? Why is everybody joking about it? What's the 411?
I think kids are actually... Well, so they look like... candy because they're covered in blue and orange. Sorry, Mikey, to make us go on this tangent.
So
like the joke has been, oh, I'm just going to eat this nice decorated, I guess, looking candy. And so they take pictures of themselves like cooking with the Tide Pods. Most folks are obviously not stupid enough to fucking eat it, but it's like been a running joke. So now people have been like slowly squishing them in their mouth. And then now
who thinks it's funny? Like, he was the first person I was like, hey, that's hilarious. Let's keep doing this.
Mikey doesn't even know what we're talking about because he doesn't have Instagram or Twitter. And he's like our guy that's supposed to reach out to the young folks. So everybody go, obviously, like he said, buckets underscore Mikey.
Yep.
Is that buckets correct?
Underscore Mikey.
It's fucking buckets.
I'm going to go follow you right now. Phil Pierce and BVD is Will as well. So go find them under our follows. Look at that. Woo! Look at that. So we'll try to help you get that gain, that clout with all of our thousands of listeners. I don't see how this won't happen instantly. So you should be good, Mikey.
Yeah, I'm expecting it.
Well, dude, we appreciate you coming on. And for those that are curious, yes, he will be a regular visitor for the basketball season, especially when the tournament gets underway. And then look for Stone Cold Locks of the Week, as well as articles written about the Ball family and all the other ridiculous shit going on in the basketball world. Thanks again, brother. Have a good evening.
Thank you. You too.
Thanks. Get back to work.
Yeah, study. Peace.